May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Good afternoon. You know why it's a good afternoon? Because I'm in Christ. You know why it was a good morning? Because I was in Christ. You know why it's going to be a good evening? Because I'm going to be in Christ. You know why Mondays are just as good as Fridays? Because I'm in Christ just as much on Mondays as I am on Fridays. Yeah, you know those restaurants like TGI, thank God it's Friday, that Christian needed to open up a restaurant that says, thank God you're in Christ, and you can go there and have fun every day. This is from 1 John chapter 2. The one who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Let me read it again. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, if your tendency's ever been to read that scripture to say, if you're abiding in Christ, then you need to, your life needs to look like Jesus. And the reason we have a tendency to think that way and to see that that's what that's saying is because no matter how much we learn, the enemy pulls us towards performance and earning. That this is saying, here's, get your act together. Don't say you abide in Christ and your life not look like Christ. You need to start looking like Christ. Start being Christ-like. Well, here's the deal. If you're abiding in Christ, you're going to be Christ-like. So what he's saying here, if those of you who say he abides in Christ ought to himself walk in the manner as he walked. In other words, this is how you abide in Christ. Walk in the manner as he walked. He's instructing us, if we're going to abide in Christ, Jesus abided in the Father. Remember what it says about Jesus? That he said about himself on several occasions, he was in the Father and the Father was in him. John 14:10, that it was the Father doing the works through him. And so we're to walk in the manner as he walked. You understand what I'm saying? How did Jesus do it? What was his example of how to walk? Walk in the manner as he walked. Jesus lived by faith. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that he was the author and the perfecter of faith because he lived, though God, as the Son of Man. And he clothed himself in our humanity. You see, Adam represented all of humanity. And so that when he fell, we all fell in him. We were all born guilty of his sin. But Jesus came as the second Adam and wrapped himself in all of humanity. Because he wrapped himself in humanity, he wrapped himself in your humanity. And he showed us as second Adam how first Adam was supposed to live, by faith. There's a lot more to all that too, which is so cool, but we don't have time for that. Now, what did that look like for Jesus? If you've been around here a while, then you'll know that often I'll talk about, especially on Lazarus Sundays, about how to walk this thing out, about the language of faith. Sometimes we can make faith so complicated. We make it into a formula. We have to memorize a formula. We have to get it just right. The language of faith is very simple. It's two words. Thank you. Because faith involves both abandonment to the will of God and confidence in his adequacy. And those two little words, thank you, both acknowledge that you are delighting in his will. It says about Jesus in John and Psalm 40, verse 8, he delighted to do God's will. Didn't say he reluctantly did God's will. Didn't say he said he was doing God's will as he complained about it the whole time. That's not doing God's will, right? I don't like it, but I'm obeying. No, you're not. You heard those story about, you know, telling your kid to sit down. They won't sit down. And you finally make them sit down. And they go, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. So when you do things in life and you gripe about it the whole time, but you're doing it because you're loyal to God, then you're sitting, standing up, but you're standing up on the inside. It doesn't count. We delight to do his will or don't do his will. There's either A or F. There's no in-between grade. Remember what happened because Saul didn't obey and he kept some of the sheep. He was partially obedient. And the Lord said to him very clearly, your partial obedience is total disobedience. So when Jesus, here's an example, classic example, feeding 5,000, they come, one of the disciples tells him, Philip tells him, Lord, how are we going to feed these people? Jesus asked the question, actually. He said, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? There were probably 15 to 20,000 people, counting the women and children. And Jesus says, he was saying that to Philip, and he was prodding Philip, said it to him over and over again, testing him to see what he was intending to do. He said, well, this, let me read it to you instead of trying to memorize it all. He says, where are we to buy bread that we may eat? And he was saying this to him to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he was intending to do. Well, Jesus was going to perform a miracle, right? No, the Father was going to perform a miracle through Jesus. What Jesus was going to do is walk in faith. And so Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, there's a little boy here. He's got five loaves. That's actually five crackers, big crackers, and two fish. It's a, it's a little boy's sack lunch. He presents it to Jesus. Jesus says, everybody sit down. And then he says, he gives thanks. He gives thanks. And then later in the chapter, it says, there came other small boats from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Holy Spirit emphasizes that again. They ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Why did Jesus give thanks? There's one scripture that says he looked to heaven. Why did he give look to heaven and give thanks? Bracken read a scripture, which is always magical. And when Bracken read the scripture, it starts off with, before Jesus washed their feet, knowing that the Father had given everything into his hands. Jesus, standing before all these people, knowing that the Father had given everything into his hands, that the adequacy of the Father, the resources of heaven, was at his disposal. Jesus, as the Son of Man, exercised faith and said, thank you. And in exercising faith, he was saying, Lord, thank you for this ridiculous situation that is totally impossible. Because the disciples were reminding him of that. All we have here are five loaves and two fish. Thank God for other brothers and sisters that are always reminding us of how impossible the situation is as a source of encouragement. But Jesus gave thanks, and after giving thanks, the miraculous grace was released. The resources of heaven were released. Jesus' language of faith was, thank you. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, he looked to heaven and said, thank you. And it says he didn't say that for his sake, for the Father's sake. He said that for the sake of those around him, because he was always teaching. 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all things, doesn't it? All things, not some things, not the things that fit your theology. You need to let God fit into God's theology. And God's theology won't always make sense to you. What we have a tendency to do is pick a theology that makes us feel comfortable, and then we'll stick with it and defend it and don't want to hear anything else. Then you're going to miss out on another half of God. Give thanks in all things. But Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks for all things. Wow. That'll blow a charismatic out of the water. Give thanks in all things, for that is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So what's the language of faith look like? It looks like thank you. Not that I'm thanking the devil in the midst of a battle. I'm thanking the Lord that I'm in Christ, and this is the situation that he's allowed me to be in. He's ordering my steps. All the warfare and battle may be the enemy, but the Lord's allowed me to walk into that. Thank you, Lord. I'm not complaining. But I'm thanking you for the demonstration of your adequacy through my humanity here also. I'm thanking you for your will for me in this situation. It may not be God's will going on out there, but it's God's will for me to be in that situation. Thank you, Lord, for your will. I'm not freaking out. I'm not complaining. I'm not griping. And in that word, thank you, I'm also acknowledging his adequacy. It's going to be demonstrated through my humanity. That's the manner in which he walked. Those of you who say you abide in Christ should walk in the manner as he walked. That's the manner in which he walked. Again, give thanks for all things. Whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, have you given thanks for that? Give thanks in all things. Are you giving thanks in all things? Have you given thanks for it, and now that you find yourself in this situation and you're giving thanks in it because, one, you're acknowledging that he's ordered your steps and you delight in his will, not yours. And that you expect the demonstration of his adequacy through your humanity. Now, the scriptures that Bracken read, it says, Jesus, knowing where he had come from, he knew where he was going, and he knew that everything that the Father had given him had been placed in his hands. And then what he did, he stewarded a miracle, right? Signs and wonders happen. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. Oh, yes. The kind that usually we live with every single day. Jesus got on his hands and knees and washed the feet of people who were all going to betray him. Every one of them left him at the cross. One of them were going to deny him. He washed Judas's feet too. The rest of them fled. Only John came back to the cross. He washed their feet. Got down on his hands and knees. Loved them unconditionally. It says he loved them to the uttermost. But he didn't say that until he first said, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Do you understand? You can only do that kind of stuff, daily stuff, blood and gut stuff. It's a miracle. It's the adequacy of Christ being demonstrated through your humanity. You're living from him. But you know how we release that? Thank you. When your kid gets it wrong again or argues with you again, is your first response on the inside, thank you, Lord. This is your will for me. It may not be your will for him. He may not be doing your will for me, and I'm thanking you. I'm embracing your will and expecting the demonstration of your adequacy in me to love him from Christ. But what we'll do, we'll try to love from the outside in. We'll watch a person's behavior, and then we'll evaluate their behavior, and then they'll get what they deserve. My impatience, my dislike, my frustration, my criticism, my judgment, my barriers, I want to hang around with him. Is that way Jesus lives? No. You're living from the outside in. But if you're living from the inside out, and it starts in this disposition of faith, thank you. Thank you. This is your will for me. And thank you for your divine adequacy. Then you're going to get to love them from the inside out. And it won't be based on what they did. It'll be based on where Jesus wants them to go, where he wants them to end up. Because he understands their issues better than you do. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't correct, but it won't be done in anger, frustration, irritation, mocking. I like that it's not just in faith stewards the divine adequacy of the Christ in us, as he stewarded the divine adequacy of the Father in him, not just when miracles and signs and wonders are needed, but in terms of what we call miracles and signs and wonders. How about the miracles and signs and wonders of just daily blood and gut stuff? So when he says, walk in a manner as Jesus walked, what was that like? Step by step. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's hard to be giving thanks and griping at the same time. Amen? But it's the giving thanks, he emphasized it, that ate the bread after the Lord gave thanks. What a key verse. The Holy Spirit wants us to see that. The divine adequacy that was always available was released after he gave thanks. I like that stuff. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. when I first met Olivia, we talked about this a lot. So if you're tired of hearing it, just think of poor Olivia. I never stopped talking about the same thing for the last 40-something years. But she cross-stitched this thing, little plaque. I don't know where it is. It just says, thank you, Lord, now. God would say it's now. You can anticipate for the future, but you can only thank him for in the now. And I hope I can find that again. Hang it on the altar of your mind. Renew your mind. Let's stand together. You know when you make a statement like, the peace will be always with you, that doesn't mean I don't get you to have something you don't have. I'm praying that what you have will be released in your life. Because if you have Christ, then he's your peace. So you can't get more peace than that, but we're just praying that it'll manifest, that you'll embrace it. So peace of the Lord be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace with one another.